Okay, I mean, there were two little issues on Ein Ches that I said in theory I would deal with, so I'm only deal with them because they're both interesting. Bikitzer, okay? Ein Ches, right, we dealt with one sugya on Thursday, which is Edisha Chalazima, but the context of that is Treva. Right, so the Gemara there says what? The Gemara says that if a Treva kills, so if he kills in front of Edim, so then he doesn't get put to death. Why? Edisha Chalazima, because since a Treva is whatever, it's something, right, is not fully alive, you wouldn't be killed if you killed him. So you can't be put to death for testifying against him. And Mela, the Eidos against him, Yishar Chalazimus, you don't kill him. But if what? If he kills
in front of
Bezdin, then you do kill him. Why?
What's the pasuk?
V'yarta mikir becha. Well, so there are two minor issues that come up here on the sugya, okay? So one is the ma'amad of treifa. So, what is the ma'amad of treifa? So, from our sugya, what do we know? We know that if you kill a treifa, you are not chayiv misa. But what does that tell you about the status of the treifa? Right, if I asked you, is a treifa alive or not alive, what would you tell me?
Not really. Sort of.
Depends on what we're dealing with. If we're dealing with like killing him, and then so it depends. It's complicated. It depends. I forgot all the details. But it's like you were saying, like according to what we're saying here, if it's in front of Beis Din, then he's considered as if he is alive.
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Good. So now let's try it again. All right, let's do this methodologically, okay? What facts do we know? We know that if you kill a treifa, you are not put to death.
Right?
If a treifa kills, so
if there's Edus, then the Edus does not work because Edus she'eta le'chol la'zima.
Right.
You don't get killed.
Good. But if a treifa kills in front of Beis Din, so we can circumvent that problem. So that implies that for some reason he doesn't, right, murdering a treifa doesn't incur the death penalty. But a treifa is chayv and onshin if you can circumvent the problems of Eidus Shechalasimba. So, we have two choices, right? We can either say that fundamentally a treifa is alive, but there's Xeris HaKasov for whatever, but there's some rule, forget Xeris HaKasov, there's some rule that says that if someone kills a treifa, that he's butter, right? But really, a treifa is alive the whole davar, and that's why if he commits a crime, so really he's chayev, there might be technicalities to get him out of it, right? But fundamentally, he's alive. That's one possibility, right? The other possibility is to say, no, he's legally dead. And the rule, I mean, whenever you have a rule and an exception, you have to figure out which is the rule and which is the exception. Right? Is the rule that he's alive and the exception is killing the treifa? Or is the rule that he's dead and the exception is treifa shaharag? Right? Yes?
Right, yeah,
okay. So, honestly, most poskim take the first approach, right? That a treifa is alive, a chol davar. And you look, right, there's a very clear expression of this in the Tosas Rit, and Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Right? But if you look through poskim, you'll see Rav Moshe Feinstein says this in Tzepel Tshuvos. Right? A treifa is alive, a chol davar, he's chayv v'chol ha-mitzvos. A treifa is alive, right? A treifa could live for a long time. Right? We talked about this earlier in the year on the halacha and science issues. But like, a treifa, the way we poskim is that there's a certain number of people who are treifos. Right, a certain number of animals that are treifos, exerce a kasev, alacha moshmitina, whatever. Right, these are the types of people who would die. But sometimes someone will live for 2-3 years. There's no reason to say he's dead. Right, he's no more dead than a ghost ace, who's obviously alive.
Oh, so what's
the difference between a ghost ace and a treifa? So a ghost ace is someone on the verge of death, but there's nothing intrinsically about him, right, that makes him yuad to death, except the fact that he happens to be on the verge of it, right. You know, like he's not, they're not intrinsically, like there's a flaw in him at this point. He's just dying, right? So he is alive the whole davar, right? A treifa, there's exeris hakasov, that once you have The simani tarfo is just like by an animal, right? Even if the animal could, in theory, live more than 12 months, right? The Ram, right, we saw the Rambam, right? Halachal Moshe Misinai, he's legally, right? He's, you know, asi lamos or something like that, right? So that's one approach. It's just say, look, it's exeris hakasev by misa, because for whatever reason, right? So, you know, why is it the case? So you say, look, something's only considered fully murder if you're killing someone who is is fully alive. Not like he's personally alive. Like his life is, he's healthy. He's going to continue living, right? There's a difference between hastening the inevitable, so to speak, right? And that you'd say that would be the difference between Gosis and Trefa, right? That a Gosis is not actually inevitable. It's just that he happens to be on the verge of death, right? If he's, you know, but he's not legally inevitably dead, right? If that sounds really complicated, it is.
When you kill a Gosis,
it's murder, right? Because it's not inevitable. It's just that, right? He's approaching death, and you kill him. He's not. Yes, he happens to be approaching death, but it's not legally defined as he's inevitably about to die. Supposed to a trefa, halacha moshe misinai, that we define a trefa as asilamos. Right, so that's the way the Tosas Red takes it. You could give a different formulation, and we'll come back to it in a moment, which is the Dvar Avram suggestion that no, there's a xeris that goes by misa, that you only get killed for killing someone who is as alive as you. Right? He's alive. I mean, like, personally, he's chayav in mitzvos. But murder isn't just about his personal status. It's about what did I do? And he is, so to speak, at a lower, you know, level of life. Whatever that means, we'll hold that for a second. Okay? The other possibility is to say, no, a trefa is really dead. So, why is he chayav in mitzvos? Well, he's not fully dead. He's like, you know, chatzi dead, whatever. Mitzvos, he should still be chayev, or something like that, right? Why then do you kill him if he kills in front of the bezdin? V'yartara k'recha. Now, what does v'yartara mikirbecha mean? So, v'yartara mikirbecha, right, could mean that, could just mean we have a chiyuv to implement justice, right? But it could also mean V'yartara mikirbecha is, in addition to the normal rules of justice, there's a separate chiyuv, which is get rid of evil. Right? It's not a formal chiyuv, right? It's a utilitarian concern, so to speak, right? It's consequentialist. It's saying this is the result that we need. We need to get rid of evil, right? Even if formally he's not alive and therefore he can't really be considered a murderer, there's a separate halacha called V'yartara mikirbecha. Right? So those are the two ways of reading the sugya, right? Again, it's to say that either a trefa is fully alive, but there's exeris hakasev by misa, that is not considered murder if he's inevitably going to die, it's not considered murder if he's a lower level than you, whatever. Or you say the opposite, right? Which is a trefa is really not alive. Why do you put him to death? V'yartara mikirbecha is not a legal rule. It's a consequentialist utilitarian rule that just says, get rid of evil. And something can be evil even without being a murderer. Okay?
If it is a legal rule, then why wouldn't it apply even if it's not in front of Bezdin?
Well, what do you mean? No, because if it's not in front of Bezdin, we just have no way of figuring it out. Right? We have no legal way of finding out that he killed.
We could have Adam. No, we can't have Adam.
No, that's the point. We can't find it out. It's an epistemic problem. Right? That's exactly the point. Is that if we can know, we would put him to death. It's just that we can't know without him being in front of Bezdin because of the epistemic issue, right? Which is Adam can't testify about him, so there's no way Bezdin knowing unless they see it with their own eyes. Okay? So first, just to finish with the trefa thing, I just want to give you the skira of the sugya. So again, I think the mainstream position is to take the first possibility, is that a trefa is alive, but whatever. Right? He's alive, there's exeris hakasev by murder for one of the two reasons.
Well, I mean the pasuk of Berta Aharam Mikirbecha.
That's true. It's a weird pasuk.
Right, so you could just say, well, it just means that, you know, even though he can't really be punished, normally we wouldn't just kill in front of Bezdin. We want to go through the process, right? In certain circumstances, what we require, right? That if a Bezdin sees, the Gemara, right, raises the possibility that if Bezdin sees the moon, right? So you have, two of them will will testify, right? Because it could just be there's a formal process, right? So we circumvent the formal process, but okay. So the Devar Avram.
Someone killed the Trefa. Does he also have Ubi Arshara Maker Becha?
No. Which is an interesting question. Why? Right? Okay. So the Devar Avram really takes the second model, though. And the Devar Avram has this Chiddush. He says, like I said before, the Chiddush of murdering a Trefa is that murder is defined as killing someone at your level of life force. Right? What he's Mechadesh, therefore, is that a Trefa, Shaharag Trefa, would be Chayef Misa, Maker Adin. Right? Now, this is a huge Chiddush, right? But the Devar Avram, that's his conclusion, right? Is that if you think that really a Trefa isn't all life, right? It would have to be done from Bezdin, right? Because of the technical problems, you can't testify against him, right? But what he's Mechadesh is that since it's really that. He takes the first approach. The Trefa really isn't alive. Right? Trefa really is alive, but the Gzeira is caused by murder. That you need to be Boto Rama. A Trefa, Sharag Trefa is Boto Rama, and therefore he is Chayav Misa, and you kill him in front of Bezdin, and we are Zara Mikir Becha. So that's the huge Kiddush of the Devar Avram that's Yosef from the way he understands the first side of the Chakira. The second side, so, is really, really, it's hard to pin down anybody who really thinks that Trefa isn't alive, but a source to think about, right, that would, that does sort of go in this direction, though he doesn't weigh in this case in the Meiri. There's a famous Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Vav, which says, why do you bring an Egla Arufa in a barren field with, right, and what's the, right, you know the Gemara I'm talking about? Right, why do you bring a barren animal in a barren field and a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? So what's the Gemara's answer? Because a person who could have been Mosi Peros was killed, so therefore, you kill him in a place where there's no payros, an animal that could have no payros, blah, 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 blah. Good. So now the Gemara says, and what are the payros?
Children.
So Gemara first suggests children, but then the Gemara says, no, what's a, right?
It's
right, exactly, right? The Gemara says, but what about a sris? Right, would you not do it for a sris? Right, would you not do it for a zakein? And the Gemara says, no, what is payros? Payros are mitzvos, right? Is that you prevent him from doing mitzvos. So the Meiri has a huge Kiddush here, and the Meiri says, therefore, if you find a Trefa who was killed, even though you wouldn't be put to death for murdering the Trefa, and you would think that Egla Rufa is the intermediate step before finding the murderer, Egla Rufa, you'll do even if found a Trefa, because even though you wouldn't have been Chayav Misa, you were Mima'id Mitzvos in this world. Oh. Right? He takes this, I have a piece on my blog, which I wrote up at some point, right? Called, like, Homiletics or Halacha, Egla Rufa. Right. That's the question here. Is this Gemara meant to be normative or homiletic? Right?
What is homiletic?
Homiletic is like drasha, right? Like a nice drasha, or is it meant to be legal? So the Meiri thinks it's meant to be legal. But what's Yotzei from the Meiri Shita is that he really doesn't seems to think that a Trefa is not alive. Despite the fact that he's not alive, in certain circumstances he has value, like mitzvos, even though he's really not alive, right? Because the ability to do mitzvos is independent, so to speak, of having a full status of being alive. Right? So, right, that may be what's Yosef and Meiri Shita. It's not really clear.
Where does that come from? We just argued the opposite. He is alive.
Right, you could say...
Mita for killing him.
Right, you could say the opposite. I mean, Meiri opens the possibility to say the second side. Right? I guess, again, Meiri doesn't say conclusively that he's dead. Right? Meiri says you're not Chayav Misa, and Egla Rufa, whatever, should be... but he opens the possibility, right? You could see someone in this approach saying that if... You know, you could... That if... You know, the ability to do mitzvahs independent exists sort of independently, right? One could even argue that Trefa is, you know, sort of dead. It's just mitzvahs are independent. Again, I don't think this is that compelling. I think it's a source to think about if one wanted to construct the other shita. I don't really think you should construct the other shita. I think the Derech HaMelech is to say Trefa is alive, and there's a Gzeiras HaKosuv by Misa. I don't think the Gzeiras HaKosuv is what the Devar Avram says. But I think that's the Derech HaMelech. I agree with you. I think the Iri is something to think about if one wanted to construct the opposite position. That's Treifa. Now, moving to V'yarta Rami Kirbecha. So like I said, one could read V'yarta Rami Kirbecha as a purely legal point. The problem is, it seems not to be the case. Based on a Gemara in Chul in Daf Kuf Lamed Tes to Daf Kuf Mem. So the Gemara there is a famous case of the evil, well not evil, Dafka not evil, the murderous chicken. And the Gemara brings a story there of the Tarnagola, or at Tarnagolta, which was stoned by Yerushalayim. Right, the killing chicken that was stoned in Yerushalayim, Mishum v'yarta hara mikirbecha. So Pashtus is that a v'yarta hara mikirbecha is more than a pure legal claim, because a chicken didn't actually commit a crime. A chicken is incapable of committing a crime. Right, the best you can say about a chicken is that it de facto, in reality, when he is killed, and therefore there's some...
Why is it different from like a shore?
Dench, well, it's the same as a shore, right? This,
so
we do kill a shore. We do kill a shore. The difference by shore is, and you should be able to know this if you've learned, the what's the problem by shore? The complicating fact by shore, it's true we kill a goring shore, but... Why do we kill a goring shore? Pashtus in the Gemara?
Because it's a kind of kapara for the Baalim.
The Baalim, right? And that's why the Baalim have to be there, because it's Bifnei Baalav, right? The real Baal in the case is the owners. So you can't prove what I just said from the goring ox.
But
the chicken is ownerless. Okay. This is just a chicken, right? And the Gemara just says, we kill the chicken, mishum uviyata rami kirbecha, right? So it does seem to be like Uviyarta Rami Kirbecha is more than just a legal claim.
Yeah, it seems to be like you're discussing the different reasons for punishment. So this seems to be just like this is just something really, really bad. We gotta
This is what we call either it's a protection model, deterrent model, not really deterrent, it's really just pure protection. Right? It's protection, right?
There's a better word for it. You use a better word.
There is, but now my brain is racing also. It's what we talk about with jail.
It's not important. Sorry, it's not important.
It'll come to me.
Prevention? No, sorry.
Maybe.
I tried.
Something.
Oh, no, it was when you're trying to, not quarantine, forget it. This is wasting your time. Sorry.
It's the same story a lot of people bring for incarceration, that it's to prevent, simply to prevent. It'll come to me also. My brain is also freezing. Fine. Now,
containment,
thank you. Containment, right? It's just simply containment of danger. Now, this notion that v'yartara mikirbecha is also in sort of a containment model, like a beyond legal model, comes up in a few places. Now, that doesn't mean it's not at all a legal model. Rashi, on that Gemara, says that V'yarta Rami Kirbecha is also the source that Edim are chayev to testify in court. And that you're chayev to bring someone who's chayev misa to court, or bring the chicken in this case. Meaning, V'yarta Rami Kirbecha is not just on Bezdin, right? What it means is that because there's this sort of overreaching value to ensure that society is run and evil people are destroyed and things are removed, and like sort of that overarching value in society, it's not just a value on Beis Din. Everyone at some level is chayiv. Rashi Weiss suggests that it's a two-tiered chayiv, right? That the ikur chayiv to protect society, implement justice, applies to Beis Din. Secondarily, it applies to everybody in Klal Yisrael. And that's why it can act as the chayiv to be an aid, the chayiv to bring the goring chicken into court, v'chadome. He brings other models to this. For example, the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The kohanim are bikaron chayev, but they're really chayev on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is chayev to make sure that the kohanim do their job. Right? It's a two-tier chayev, right? Really, everyone's chayev, but the moked is the kohanim, and everybody else is secondarily chayev to ensure that they do their job. That's the chinuch is menaseach, and he brings other examples. So it seems that V'yarta Rami Kirbecha is both, right? It's both a legal obligation for courts to implement justice, for everyone to participate in the justice system. It's also something beyond that, which is simply to root out evil, even through means that are not classically legal. Now, of course, this would explain why, even if the Trefa was dead, you would be able to kill the Trefa. I'm sorry. This would explain why even if a Trefa were dead, you know, if a Trefa killed, maybe you could, or a Trefa killed a Trefa or something like that, you could actually put them to death. Fine. Just one more point on it. You guys did Daf Chavtes, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So the Gemara there is the case of the Nachash HaKadmoni. Right, the Nachash HaKadmoni. So he could have made the Taina that Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim, but he didn't, so we don't claim for him. So some of the Achronim ask, well, what?
Mises.
So some of the Achronim ask, that's very nice, but what about this Silo Eida? Right? Because it sounds like if he were to make the claim, you'd save him. So why don't you make the claim for him? There's a chiyuv for Bez Din to go out of its way to protect people.
That's not by Mises.
So one way is to say it's not a Mises. The Achornim, yes. That's how the Gemara answers it. The Achornim are most of another element to it, which is maybe specifically here, God, so to speak, didn't defend the snake because Vitzilo Eid only applies to human beings. Right? Uviar Tahara Mikrubecha, as we know from the Gemara and Chulin, applies to everybody. Right? Oh. So the snake, so to speak, has Uviar Tahara Mikrubecha without Vitzilo Eid. So it's not just he's a Mises. There's also a Chiv to root out evil, just root out evil, right? That's just an obligation. And when it's not counterbalanced by Vitzilo Eid, Mimila, that leads to a case where we're not towing for him. Right? Okay, so that's just sort of a survey of what is going on in this sugya and the other two issues. Again, Trefa, two possibilities. Either he's alive, there's exerus the cause of by Misa, or he's not alive. Pashtus is he's alive, and you just don't kill him because, you know, he's Asi Lamos, or because he's a lesser life form. If you think that, so to speak, then you'd come to the conclusion of Rav Ram that Trefa in front of Bezin would be actually Chayv Misa. If you want to say the second possibility, so you have to construct something like he has certain value to his life because he can do mitzvahs like the Miri, but he's not actually alive. Again, the Miri might not say this either, but this is just a petach to open up that possibility. The second issue is V'yartar HaMikrabecha, which is how the Gemara justifies killing the person who killed the tree in front of Bezdin. So there's two things to know about it. One is that that is the basis for the chiyuv to keep a system of justice, but it doesn't just apply to Bez Din, it applies fundamentally to Bez Din, but also to everyone else, and that's why Rashi says it's the chiyuv for Edom to testify, to bring people to court, v'chadome. Also, it seems to be an uber principle of containment, whatever, to root out evil, which is not pure, not just through the justice system in the narrow sense of the word, and that's why it applies to animals who have no volition. And again, that's how some of the Acharonim explain the Nachash Sugya, but it's explicit in the Gemara and Chulin by the Tarnagol. So those are just two things to sort of think about in the Sugya. They have a lot of ramifications in other places, Kamuvan. Trefa is a big Sugya, as is Uviar Tara, but I guess we'll stop there.